offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Good morning, Mrs. Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:01 a.m. on Tuesday, March 8th, and today's weather report is high near 72 degrees, partly sunny, west wind 7 to 9 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 45, southwest winds 3 to 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny with a high near 75 degrees. Calm wind becoming west 5 to 9 miles per hour in the morning. And then tomorrow night, low around 49, west wind around 5 miles per hour becoming calmer in the evening. On Thursday, mostly sunny again with highs near 79, calm wind becoming southwest 5 to 8 miles per hour in the morning. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers after 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 51. Chance of precipitation is 31%. And on Friday, another chance of showers before 8 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 62. Chance of precipitation is 30%. We'll be right back with Some Things About Money.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're off. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Heidi & Associates, and welcome to Some Things About Money. Well, I know a lot of the focus has been on the presidential primaries, but there's also stuff going on in the world that we have to pay attention to, such as bad numbers coming out of China. I know last night there was a lot of acrimony going on in the Asian markets, a little bit of recovery since then, of course, and that created a negative open to the U.S. markets. So when we take a look at that, plus some of the things that are going on in energy, I mean, energy has been off about 3.5% for most of the trading session. That's all going to lead to a red day. And since we've had about 5 consecutive green days, I guess we are overdue for a bit of a pullback, and today could be the day for that. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 16,955. That's down 118 points. The S&P is at 1983, down 18.47. And the NASDAQ is at 4670, down 38 points there. Over in Europe, looking at all three of the indices, they are red as well. The FTSE is down 73, down 1.19%. The DAX is down 126, or 1.29%. And the CAC 40 down 54.79, or a negative 1.23%. Taking a look at some of the other numbers, I know we like to look at oil. Oil is down $1.13 a barrel at 36.77, after showing a rather nice recovery in the previous week. But not today. And gold continues its upward movement, up another $4.10 an ounce at $12.68 an ounce. The 10-year Treasury, well, we're looking at a yield currently down a bit. It's at 1.2 8.061%. So a lot of down, a lot of red on the screen, Tony. So, but it is what it is, and this too shall pass. Speaking of past, that was the month of February. And in the month of February, core asset classes ended the month nearly flat, while currency-sensitive assets, such as gold and international bonds, benefited from a declining U.S. dollar. Domestic equity began the month, continuing the downtrend that we saw in January. The S&P 500 index reached a low of, on February 11th, then has rallied back to ultimately end the month down only 0.13%. The material sector, that was the best performing sector during the month, and that was up 7.6%, while financials performed the worst, down 2.94%. By market cap, mid-cap stocks performed the best, and small-cap stocks ended flat. International developed equities were one of the worst-performing asset classes during the month. The MSCI EAFE index was down 1.83%, while emerging market equities fared much better, with the MSCI Emerging Market Index down only 0.16%. As far as fixed income, core fixed income was up modestly during the month, with the Barclays U.S. Aggregate Bond Index returning 0.71%. International bonds were one of the best performing asset classes during the month, with the Citi WGBI up 3.95%. TIPS and emerging market bonds also fared well during the period, as the declining dollar impacted returns during the month. REITs, they saw little change during the month, with the FTSE NAR REIT index down 0.42%. Commodities as a whole continued their downward slide. The Bloomberg Commodity Index was down 1.63%, while gold had a very good month. Gold, that rose sharply through the first half of the month, while the dollar and the U.S. stocks have declined and continued at its elevated level as riskier assets rebounded during the second half, ending the month up 10.6%. That was pretty good. Now, despite recent financial market turmoil and questions of, about the global economic momentum, corporate hiring plans for the second quarter remained fairly solid, and that was according to this morning's report from the employment services firm Manpower. Now, Manpower's quarterly survey is based on interviews with approximately 30,000 public and private employers in 18 major countries across the globe. Now, given the breadth, depth, and length of its data, the survey began by surveying conditions in the U.S. and Canada back in 1962. The report is considered a well-respected indicator of hiring intentions. Survey results are released about 2 months after the surveys are conducted. As such, today's report reflects sentiment as measured in early January and may not fully reflect the complete influence of market turbulence, which has been so prevalent here earlier in the year. Survey results are meant as an indication of hiring intentions for the quarter ahead, i.e., the release today reflects hiring intentions for quarter number two. While large and mid-sized firms expect their hiring to remain solid, small businesses are getting more cautious. Also released this morning, the National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Optimism Survey dropped for the third time in 4 months, leaving the overall index at its lowest level since February 2014. Plans to increase employment and the number of reported job openings remain somewhat elevated, however, so the dip in optimism could be temporary. What do we have going on in Hunterdon County, Tony? We have the Women's Leadership Summit, and that's going to be held on April 19th at the Ryland Inn in White House Station. Now, Michelle Sikarica, former Deputy Commissioner of New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, is the new president of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association. She's going to be our speaker there. The NJBIA, the nation's largest statewide employer association, represents over 20,000 member companies and 1.1 million employees. In this role, Ms. Sekirica will work alongside a staff of 50 to set and execute the organization's strategic plan while ensuring exceptional operational performance and member satisfaction. Her understanding of the business and government environment and how they can, well, productively interact will enhance the NJBIA's ability to advance its pro-business platform in a practical, solutions-based manner. So if you haven't already signed up, you may want to contact the chamber here and get more information on it. And we are hoping very much to see you at that event. So, Tony, it's a beautiful day. Did you get to watch any of the debates?
Some.
Yeah, I was watching Bret Baier on Fox interview Bernie and Hillary, and both of them were kind of unsure what kind of questions Bret was going to ask, being that I guess this is the first time in a while that any Democratic candidates agreed to show up on the Fox network. So, yeah, I guess, you know, they're looking to reach out and broaden their base, much like the Republicans have during this time of primaries for the Republican Party. But one of the things I found interesting, I mean, Bret was asking about the email thing, and, you know, she was saying how, you know, she didn't send any classified emails through her server, but, of course, after the fact, the State Department has deemed some of them to be classified. But at the time, she didn't, I think she said she didn't mark them classified. Now, just because you don't choose to mark them as classified doesn't mean that they're not classified or they are classified. I'm a little bit confused there. So the fact that it could have been sensitive information is irrelevant based upon her judgment whether or not she deemed to send them marked classified. It's still going through a personal server, is it not? So if the information was marked classified after the fact, even though she should have known better, it still went through that unprotected server. So isn't the point having governments or organizations that wish us ill having easier access to a personal server than through the government server, which by no means is completely secure? We just had a recent episode where the IRS was hacked a couple of times. So there's no guarantees there. It's just that we really need to make it easier for our enemies to get access to the information that we basically choose not to share with them. So isn't that the bottom line? Am I missing something?
Not only that, isn't she? I feel like she's hiding something by wanting to have her own server.
Well, I guess most of the American people feel that way because all of the exit polls just show a huge spread in whether or not she's trustworthy between her and Bernie Sanders. I mean, massive. It's just a historical number in terms of the spread between the two of them as to the trust matter. So, yeah, that's a major problem that she's going to have. And the only thing that I guess her campaign is banking on is that if Donald Trump happens to be the Republican nominee, his negative ratings are almost as high as hers, and in some cases probably higher. So is that really the choice that America is going to have in the upcoming election? Mm-hmm. Two people that we don't trust or we don't like?
Yep.
With that, I think we're going to take our first break and pay a couple of bills here and see where we go from there. You're listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100andChamberRadio.com app today.
And we're back. You're listening to Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, with Patton Heidi & Associates. Tony Clark is with me, working the board and keeping me motivated here this morning. Now, how do you reach us? Because it is that time of the year where people are gathering tax information and going, ah, or something to that effect. A couple of things. First, you can reach us by calling us at 908-713-6600. And we are located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale in the beautiful brick Gebhardt & Kiefer Law Office building with the gigantic American flag right off on 31. So if you'd like to have another set of educated eyes, take a look at some of the things that you're currently doing or some of the things that so-called advisors are trying to get you to do before the Fiduciary Act is passed and they can no longer do it to you, you may want to give us a call so we can talk about that and whether or not it makes sense given what your goals, your time frame, your risk tolerance, your needs happen to be. And we like to offer that to everyone. Come on in, have a conversation with some nice people, have some water, a cup of coffee, maybe some organic tea, and we can see what we can see. The other thing I wanted to mention is that people are chomping at the bit. I mean, how many calls do we get from clients who aren't reading the website or some of the information that's being sent from our home office at Ameriprise, cautioning them about being too antsy in getting their taxes filed? Because if you currently have non-qualified, which means non-IRA accounts, you have to worry about filing too soon. Now, why is that a problem? Well, quite frankly, with all the new regulations taking place in the financial services industry, you have a number of companies who are still getting acclimated to the changes that they are responsible for knowing about and acting upon. So those changes have an awful lot to do with the information that they have to provide to financial institutions who bundle investments in the forms of things like exchange-traded funds or mutual funds. So don't be surprised if you get a letter in the mail from the company that you're doing business with stating that they have revised tax information to provide to you. Don't get angry at them, please, because all they're doing is passing that along from the individual companies that they're getting the information from. And these companies are doing this because they're playing catch-up on complying with the new regs. We have that ourselves, and we always warn our clients over and over again when they have non-IRA retirement accounts not to be too anxious. I know, you know, you want to get it out of the way. You know, I'm like that too. Whenever there's a task that I find distasteful, it's the first thing I get off my desk. But in this case, it could create a little bit more work, which means the accountant that you're working with, hopefully, is going to have to do more work and probably have to bill you for it. And you're not going to be happy about it. So if you do have non-IRA accounts, just be patient. Give it another couple of weeks or so before you get that to the accountant for completion and filing. That doesn't mean you can't get all the information to the accountant, but just give some instructions about being patient because there's a possibility that you'll be getting additional information in the mail that CPA is going to need on your behalf. So a little warning there. So what did we have here, Tony? Market recap. Well, you know, the S&P 500 index really has broken above the psychologically important 2,000 level yesterday, and after some consternation intraday, closed at 2001. So that was a while since we were over 2000. Well, we're going to fall back below that today, however. The index started the day down a modest 2% year to date and is higher by over 9% since the February 11th bottom. Assuming the index can move through 2000, the 2012 level would get the index back to where it closed on the first day of this trading year. Again, not happening today. While a move back to 2043 would return the index to where it finished last year. after January's poor results, the fact that we're even able to comment on these levels is rather impressive in our view. Yesterday's mixed performance was driven by a move higher in small cap stocks, another large daily gain in the price of oil, and continued rallies in energy and material stocks. Interestingly, defensive sectors such as utilities and telecom also rallied on the day and are positive over the last month. To us, this indicates investors are either continuing to chase winners or have not completely bought lock, stock, and barrel into the recent rally. Actually, it might just be a little of both. Now, it is important to avoid complacency. As we've mentioned before, some of the large banks are calling into question the staying power of the market's recent rally. Some argue that technical considerations have moved from oversold to overbought near term, while some global price-to-earnings ratios have actually moved higher this year as opposed to lower. I mean, we're getting close to the point of a multiple of 18 where, you know, looking at earnings, I'm not sure that it justifies that high a multiple. Maybe 16 would be more appropriate. Others doubt that, you know, there has been a big downdraft in the Federal Reserve's desire to continue to normalize interest rates this year, and markets may be interpreting committee tones as too dovish. Though the data on manufacturing continues to be weak and services data has been trending lower in many important global regions, U.S. employment and some inflation metrics have recently surprised investors in a good way. We believe Fed officials are likely to lower their interest rate outlook for the FOMC meeting next week, but we do not see officials lowering it to the 0-1 rate hikes recently predicted by Fed fund futures. As we've witnessed over recent months, the markets have had a difficult time adjusting to the idea of increasing interest rates in the United States, particularly against the backdrop of other central banks providing more accommodation. Looking ahead, quarter one earnings per share growth for the U.S. and European companies really appear to be negative, although this provides some opportunity for companies to potentially surprise investors. Beginning in April, it also leaves a lot of unanswered questions about what the future pace of earnings growth looks like for the rest of the year. In our view, we continue to support a more cautious tone as we warn investors not to get too wrapped up in the extreme pessimism during January and through early February. We should also argue that people should not become too complacent or exuberant today. We still expect higher levels of volatility ahead, and following a balanced portfolio approach remains the best path forward in our view. Over in the Asia Pacific areas, the equities were weaker across the region overnight. February Chinese exports severely disappointed investors, falling 25.14% year-over-year during the month versus expectations of a decline of 14.5%. The decline was the worst since May of 2009. Imports were also weaker than expected, and although the Lunar New Year was to blame for some of the import-export slip, it falls short of explaining the wider-than-expected miss on both fronts. Separately, Chinese foreign currency reserves fell $29 billion to $3.2 trillion in February, while concerns about China's property market continue to attract attention. Over in Japan, Japanese fourth quarter GDP was revised from a negative 0.4% quarter-over-quarter to a negative 0.3% quarter-over-quarter, with annualized GDP revised to a negative 1.1% versus the previous estimate of negative 1.4%, so little improvement. The Nikkei finished down 0.76%, while the Hang Seng was lower by 0.69%. The rest of Asia, well, that was generally lower by less than 1%. We mentioned European equities are down today. European equities are trading on the defensive after a sharply lower open. Disappointing trade data out of China is largely responsible for the sour tones at midday. However, German January industrial production posted a big surprise to the upside, while second estimate Eurozone quarter four GDP which was plus 1.6%, was slightly better than the previous estimate of plus 1.5%. So that's what's going on, or what has been going on over in Europe and Asia. Not actually horrible. We could take it. You know, but what we want to do right now is get an update on the U.S. markets. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 109 points, 0.64%, to 16,967. The S&P 500 down 17.51, or 0.87%, to 1984. And the NASDAQ down 0.83%, or 38.99, to 4,669. As we said, Europe is still down. FTSE's down 0.96%. The DAX down 0.97%. The CAC 40 down 0.95%. Improvement across the board for those three separate indices. Looking at oil, oil is down $1.17 a barrel to $36.73. Gold up 550 an ounce to 12.6950. And the 10-year yield a tick higher. Still down to 1.8148%. So that's where we are right now. David Joy, who big Ameriprise honcho, is going to provide us with some information as far as the risk assets rally, but talking about how long it's going to last. And then after that, when we come back, we're also going to talk a bit about some things about the numbers, by the numbers. And that's always a lot of fun to do. And if we have time, Russ Kustridge from BlackRock had a little bit of commentary about the BlackRock position on where they see stocks going, whether or not they're going to continue to rise in the short term, and some deflation worries over in Europe. And the fact that they believe that tips and value stocks are worth another look. So when we come back, we will be talking about those things. In the meantime, you are listening to Some Things About Money, and this is Joe Patton with Tony Clark. We are from Patton Heide & Associates, and we are huge believers in credentials. So this time of the year, as you're putting your tax information together, you're probably happy if you have a qualified CPA to have them watch over your tax situation, because no one wants to get that letter in the mail. It's not really a letter of greetings. I think it's a letter of you owe us money. And, you know, if you don't have somebody who's good at tax preparation that knows the in and outs of all of the new tax laws that we all have to deal with, you probably are putting yourself at a little bit of risk that you can avoid if you're willing to make a meager investment in the efforts of a qualified CPA. And it's always a good idea, even if you like to do your own taxes, to every once in a while get a professional to do them for you, because with all the changes, they're not always picked up on TurboTax. And quite frankly, I think the IRS feels a little bit better about seeing CPA at the end of the signature as opposed to something different. So again, you're listening to Some Things About Money. We're going to do a bottom of the hour break, listen to some weather, and I'll have to see whether or not Tony wants to do news, but we will see you on the other side.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
The Donald Trumps and his friends are not going to prevail in scapegoating minorities in this country.
Michigan voters will go to the polls today to make selections in the Democratic and Republican presidential primaries. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders was among the candidates campaigning around Detroit yesterday, saying to a crowd that voters won't be fooled by Republican rhetoric. Voters in four states head to the polls today to cast their ballots in the presidential race. The biggest prize is in Michigan, with nearly 60 Republican delegates up for grabs and almost 150 on the Democratic side. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is staying out of the presidential race. He made the announcement yesterday, explaining in a three-person race no candidate would likely win a majority of electoral votes, and that his candidacy could possibly lead to Donald Trump or Ted Cruz being elected. Officials say it's a miracle none of the more than 200 people on board a commuter train in California were killed after it derailed near San Francisco last night. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.
So I won't overspend?
Nope. With our price match guarantee, you can always get the lowest price on everything for your office.
Everything?
Everything.
The lowest prices on ink, paper, coffee, ink, folders, notepads, ink, sticky notes, ink, trash pads, ink, binders, and ink?
Need some ink?
A little bit, yeah.
Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples. Make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
Hello, this is Tony Clark again, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:30 a.m., and we're at a weather break again. Today, it's partly sunny with a high near 72, west wind 7 to 9 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. And tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny at a high near 75 degrees. Calm wind becoming west, 5 to 9 miles per hour in the morning. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low around 49. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 79 degrees again. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers after 8 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 51 degrees. Chance of precipitation is 31%. And then Friday, another chance of showers in the early morning, but partly sunny with a high near 62 during the day. And I just wanted to make mention that now Pat and Heidi and Associates has their own Facebook page. So please check us out on Facebook and like us, Pat and Heidi and Associates. You can just search for our name in the search bar at the top and be sure to like us so you can get all our daily news feeds that we are starting to post on there. Back to you, Joe.
Yes, I am back, and I am Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. And you know, we were talking a little bit about the importance of tax professionals, and a friend of mine from Bedard & Kowicki, Andy Ross, CPA, did put out an article in the latest business news through the Chamber of Commerce, and you know, it speaks to some issues that you know we actually run into, questions that we get from clients and other people during the course of the year. And I guess, you know, all individuals and businesses do want to pay as little tax as the law allows. However, you must be aware of tax penalties to avoid while you are doing your annual tax planning and preparation. Andy writes that if you are over age 70 and a half, you must take out a minimum distribution, called a required minimum distribution, each year from your IRA accounts and from all of your employer retirement accounts. Now, the financial institution holding your retirement funds should tell you what that amount will be every year. If you do not take out your annual required minimum distribution, you will be penalized 50% of the amounts not withdrawn for the year. The IRS also permits you to give your required minimum distribution directly to a charity. The limit is $100,000 per person per year. Oh, yeah, I'll just write the check for that. Well, maybe not, but some people can, and they should. That does allow you to avoid federal income tax on the distribution. Now, this is now a permanent provision in the tax code. If you are under age 59 and a half, you may be subject to a penalty of 10% of any amounts distributed from your IRAs or your employer retirement accounts, in addition to paying income tax on the distribution. There are exceptions to this general rule, but you must be careful about these exceptions, as some of them apply only to IRAs and some of them apply only to employer retirement plans. If you or your business have foreign financial accounts with a combined total of over $10,000 at any time during the calendar year, you are required to electronically file Treasury Form FIN CEN 114. The penalties can be up to $10,000 for non-willful failure to file, or the greater of $10,000 or 50% of each account balance for the willful failure to file. Wow. And he also states that if you are an employer, the failure to collect and pay over tax withholdings, federal income tax, FICA, or Medicare, will result in a trust fund penalty. That penalty can add up to $10,000 plus 100% of the account, of the amount of the unpaid payroll tax deposits. In addition, there are penalties for not paying over payroll tax deposits on a timely basis after they have been withheld. Beginning 2014, many of you remember that there is a penalty for individuals who do not have monthly health insurance coverage for themselves and for their family members unless they qualified for an exemption imposed on Form 1040. For 2015, the penalty amount can be up to $325 per adult, $162.50 per child, up to $975 or 2% of household income. The 2016 penalties will be more than double the 2015 penalty amounts. Partnerships and S-Corps never pay federal income tax. The business income is flowed through to individual partners and shareholders on Schedule K-1 who then pay tax on that income on their respective income tax returns. However, if you do not file a partnership or S-Corporation tax return on a timely basis, the business entity will be subject to a $195 per partner or shareholder per month penalty. Wow. So, you know, the Internal Revenue Code is filled with penalties for late filings of tax returns and late payment of taxes. And, you know, once again, if you're not sure, Bedard & Kowicki, fabulous firm, one of the best I know of, and Andy Ross is a great guy. So, you know, I always tell people when you're looking for professionals, talk to a professional about who they know and try to get a referral. So, there you go, David Choi. Love David Choi. Tony, do you love David Choi? Tony loves David Choi. Risk assets, they've been rallying, but how long is that going to last? Well, in his latest market commentary, David Choi reflected on the recent rally in risk assets, oil, high-yield bonds, gold, and other categories, and what it will take for such gains to continue. Another round of encouraging economic reports in the U.S. last week that served to quiet the talk of recession, however, diverging paths of the domestic and international economies continue to overshadow the market. Start oil. Oil climbed last week for the third straight week, and so did stocks. In fact, so did just about every category of risk assets. High-yield bonds, gold, and foreign stocks all enjoyed a week of gains. In contrast, equity markets fell, along with the dollar and treasury yields. Rose. So it was another good week for those who are long. The S&P 500, which managed to close tantalizingly close to the 2000 mark, has managed to claw back to within 2.2% of breaking even for the year. Unfortunately, that will not be helped by today's action. There was another round of encouraging economic reports in the U.S. last week that served to quiet the talk of recession. The decline of the manufacturing sector slowed while services stayed firm, construction spending and factory orders rose, and motor vehicle sales remained healthy. Most importantly, the labor market added many more jobs than expected, increasing the odds of a Fed rate hike in June to 40% from 35% the prior week, based on data from the Fed funds futures market. The diverging paths of the domestic and international economies continue to overshadow the market. Weaknesses in the Eurozone, including a reemergence of deflation, makes this week's European Central Bank meeting particularly noteworthy. Widespread speculation anticipates a further reduction in the already negative deposit rate, despite a warning over the weekend from the bank for international settlements that the use of negative interest rates remains experimental. China also made headlines over the weekend, which we talked about earlier, by announcing its latest growth objective of 6.5% to 7% for 2016, in line with recent experience, at least officially. Skeptics continue to worry that such a target means that true reform of industrial overcapacity and the write-down of bad debt will be delayed only postponing the day of reckoning and making a steady devaluation of the Chinese currency more likely. Back of the oil patch, the weekly active rig count, well, that fell to a six-year low as U.S. production has slowed from 9.5 to 9.1 million barrels per day. Talk of a meeting in late March to discuss a production freeze that involved OPEC and other major producers with a whisper objective of supporting a $50 a barrel price objective lent further support to the market, but crude in storage still remains high. And in the U.S., our stockpiles are at their highest since the 1930s. So I don't know how that's going to work out. Earnings forecast, well, they were lowered on the domestic earnings front. It has not taken long for this year's initial expectations to be upended. According to fact sheet, at the start of the year, first quarter earnings were expected to be basically flat. That forecast has been lowered to the point where a decline of 8% is now expected. Not surprisingly, energy and materials are the primary source of weakness, but every sector in the market has seen expectations reduced to a point where now only telecom, consumer discretionary, and healthcare are expected to post an actual increase in earnings compared to last year. Considering how beaten up healthcare has been, especially with the political rhetoric, that's not hard to do. For the full year 2016, earnings are now expected to expand just 2.9% compared to 6.8% 2 months ago. Now, little has been done to address these structural problems confronting the global economy, while reliance on monetary stimulus continues to be the primary tool favored by policymakers in the absence of political will to reform. This week's ECB meeting should offer further evidence of that. A combination of a firming oil price, a stable Chinese currency, and some better domestic economic data has allowed risk assets to rally in the short term. They will likely need each of these supports if a rally is to be extended. So things have been good, but we're starting to get up against that wall of concern about interest rates, oil prices, and global policy. Not to mention the negative interest rates. I mean, I keep hearing people talk about the potential of having that happen here in the United States, and I can't even imagine what the impact of that will be as we try to unravel all of the other issues that have been caused by the Federal Reserve in recent years. We are truly in unknown, uncharted territory. But what we do know is basically what's going on in the markets right now. Taking a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, we're down 83.72, so we are slowly grinding our way back, and now that's down less than 0.5%. The S&P is down 0.77%, the NASDAQ's down 0.76%. Again, you know, Europe looking at a slight recovery, the FTSE, DAX, and CAC 40, they're all down about 0.9% as we talk, and oil, down 93 cents a barrel to $36.97, so a slight improvement there. And gold up $4.80. Treasury about the same. 10 years at 1.8183%. So that's where we stand as far as recent numbers. And let's see. Tony, when we come back, I think we're going to spend the last 10 minutes or so of the show going by the numbers. I was looking at them, and you know, there's some recent interesting tidbits of information as it relates to the economy, the markets, and a couple of personal items as well towards the end. I hope we have time to get to them because they're kind of neat. But we're going to take our last break of the show, and when we come back, we will have more conversation about some things about money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And we're back. Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton, Heidi & Associates, and you're listening to Some Things About Money. Yeah, Tanya's reminding me that they're having a business leadership forum, the Women's Forum, meeting right after the show, and my partner Michelle Heidi, who is chairing that again, is going to be at the meeting. And I just wanted to acknowledge Michelle for yet receiving another certification of sorts. She just completed a course on behavioral finance, and that is important because it enhances one's understanding of how people feel about different things as it relates to their financial plan. Because quite frankly, if you're not comfortable with what your advisor is recommending, if they really don't have a true understanding of who you are and how you operate, the likelihood is you're not going to go along with it, even if it's the right thing to do. So having an understanding from a behavioral aspect is critical to having people take action and to their satisfaction about the action that they've taken. People need to feel good about their financial situation. So kudos to Michelle for taking out hours upon hours upon hours to go through that program, because it is critical in working with clients. So also, both Michelle and I were awarded again from New Jersey Monthly Magazine the 5-star wealth manager designation for 2016. So once again, kudos to Michelle. Tony, by the numbers, where to begin? Every day? You want to start with every day?
Sure. It's estimated that 9,300 Americans will turn 65 years old each day during this year.
I'm not there yet.
No. And this is the sixth year of 19 years of baby boomers turning 65. Pretty interesting. That's a lot.
A lot of people.
Yeah. An estimated 11,400 Americans will turn 65 years old in the year 2029.
And this is important to realize, because it speaks to why there's a lot of pandering around entitlements as it relates to health care and other issues that seniors are facing each and every day, because every day there are more of them. And a lot of the programs that are geared to seniors are not cheap. Look at health care. I mean, as you age, your needs for health care, because of different incidents that you have to deal with, whether it's heart-related or you get later on, perhaps Alzheimer's or just minor annoyances. You have a knee replacement or a hip replacement. These are not cheap. And every time we keep reminding people that the population of the United States is aging and how we need to broaden the tax base and get more revenue in to cover the cost of these things, folks are like, it's horrible. It's this, it's that. It's too much. Government's too big. Well, yeah, that's true. Government is too big. But there are certain things that we expect from our government, and providing for those who can't take care of themselves is one of those. And more we find out that the seniors don't have enough money to get the care that they need. They don't have coverage for long-term care or end-of-life care. They may not have enough money to put food on the table, or you hear the stories about them cutting their medications in half to stretch them out because they don't have the money to buy the drugs. So, we all have to be aware of this growing group that are looking towards the rest of the country for help. And we have to make the hard policy choices to ensure that we financially could afford to do that. So that's why we brought that to you today. Next.
The top 25% of U.S. taxpayers in tax year 2013 received 68% of the nation's adjusted gross income.
You mean those evil taxpayers?
Yep, while paying 86% of the total federal income tax.
Ah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. At an average rate of 17%.
Now, that means that we have quite a large number of people in the country that don't pay any income tax.
Mm-hmm.
What is it now, like 46% or something around that? And I know they pay state and they pay sales, but so does everybody else. But it's the federal programs that are paid for by the federal income tax payments that many people are able to take advantage of. And, you know, one has to wonder at what point is $19 trillion in debt going to 20, going to 25, going to 30? And, you know, if you have more and more people not paying tax and the debt's going higher and higher and the Fed's looking at raising interest rates, which means the national debt gets rolled over at an even higher interest rate, and who gets to pay for that? I think it's we the people. Mm-hmm. So, again, be aware. As the president says, elections have consequences, and you know, these people do have, you know, in, whether it's in Congress or the presidency, the ability to either write legislation or influence legislation or sign it into law things that are going to cost us an awful lot of money. Some of those things are warranted, good, and justified. But so many of the others, I think, is just an encouragement for people to try less, or maybe it's an attempt to buy their vote. I'm not sure sometimes. Yes, I am. Next.
Well, get this part of it, too. The minimum income to rank in the top 25% of taxpayers is just $74,955.
Yeah, well, we saw recently with the jobs number that wages really aren't moving. In fact, I think they pulled back a bit. And the U6 labor number, which is the combination of those who are unemployed, underemployed, and who just have given up, threw their hands in the air and says, I just can't find a job, that's still at an unreasonably high rate. So, you know, it's not getting better enough fast enough. And, you know, that's what happens, you know, when you have policies in place that are designed to create mediocrity. That's what you get.
Mm-hmm. All right. Did you know that a lot of the millennials sold out of the stock market back in December of 2015?
Let's see. We sold low.
Yep. 52% of the millennials surveyed regret actually selling out of the stock market.
Well, they're not all that bright because they're millennials, and that's not to be disparaging. It's just a function of their lack of experience in doing this and their unwillingness to talk to actually seasoned professionals who are educated in this and have a lifetime experience in market trends and analysis and basically how things work. And if you're working with a good advisor, they probably wouldn't let you do things like that. So it's important. It's important to talk to somebody and work with somebody who actually has experience, preferably credentials. Next.
The last official recession in the USA started on December 31st, 2007, and ran for 18 months through June 30th, 2009.
Hmm. Yeah, it's been 7 years or so that we've had this market. We've been a while since the 2008 crash into 2009. So, you know, here we are, 2016, and people are like, ooh, we may be coming into another recession, as if that's big news. Recessions are cyclical. They happen all the time for different reasons. You go into them, you know, they vary in terms of the depth of the recession and the impact on the economy. They vary in terms of the length, duration of the recession. But nonetheless, they are a normal part of an economy. Any country, globally, it doesn't matter. So, you know, just get over the fact that recessions are coming. They will always come. And then they will recover. And then you'll go for a period of time until the next one arrives. Don't get crazy over it. Understand how things work. Understand that they are something that you can take advantage of if you know what you're doing. Back to working with somebody who's trusted and knowledgeable. Don't do this on your own. It's not something that amateurs should be doing, because for amateurs it seldom ends up well. Just remember, down markets, corrections can be your friend if you know how to take advantage.
It could be a good time for first-time home buyers. The home buyers that borrow money from FHA-insured lenders may be eligible for minimum down payment of just 3.5%, and most of their home buyers' closing costs and fees may be included in that loan.
That is not a bad deal.
Mm-hmm. They're required to purchase mortgage insurance, which is a percentage of the loan value, but that protects the lender in the event the borrower actually defaults.
And you don't have to keep the loan insurance forever. As soon as you build more equity in the property, you can dump the insurance.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
No. Let's see. Some credit comments. Let's see. If the same credit standards that lenders used back in 2001 were used in the during the last 6 years, from 2009 to 2014, following the global crisis, so if we kept the same standards and not changed them, an additional 5.2 million mortgage loans would have been made, including 1.2 million mortgage loans in just 2014 alone.
Wow. And so, in other words, we would have been continuing to lend money to all of these people who have no business buying homes or taking out loans because they have an inability to either pay the loan back or they just don't have a good history of paying loans back. I don't know that that's a bad thing. I think it speaks to some of the new regulations put into place to protect the rest of the country from people who were demonstrating bad behavior, whether it be financial institutions that look the other way or people who lied about their income or assets and were taking out debt where they did not have to verify that information. There's a lot of blame to go around for the housing crisis, so it's not necessarily bad to see a reduction in the number of mortgages, because people are paying attention. That'll keep us out of trouble if we continue to do it, although there are folks in Washington, especially on the Democratic side, who are now saying that they want to loosen the standards again. Wow. I mean, are you ever going to learn from history? That's crazy stuff sometimes. What else you got?
The last bank failure in the United States took place just 5 short months ago, October 10th, 2015. And that is actually the longest stretch without a bank failure since 2007, eight and a half years ago.
So some of the regulations have helped, but again, they've tightened up on lending standards. And you know, if you don't get yourself in trouble by making a lot of bad loans, they're not going to come back to bite you. And that's the proof of the pudding right there.
All right, here's one on insurance companies. Insurance companies offering plans through the Affordable Care Act have had both their profits and losses smoothed out over the last 3 years. Risk corridors have forced successful insurance companies to give up at least 50% of their profits earned above a gain of 3% per individual plan per year. While the struggling insurance companies have received reimbursement for at least 50% of their losses suffered on individual plans that produce losses of 3% or more.
Well, it sounds like redistribution of profit from strong, healthy companies that are doing it right to give money to those who aren't that good. You know, it's just a pattern that never seems to end. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Let's talk about something a little bit nicer. Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan turned 90 years old. Returns 90 years old on Sunday. I guess it was this past Sunday he turned 90. And he studied the clarinet at Juilliard School of Music in New York for 2 years in the 1940s. So happy birthday, Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan. That was a good thing. And for any of you who did not get to see the Daytona 500, Denny Hamlin, he finished a half foot in front of Martin, I don't know how to pronounce his name, it's T-R-U-E-X, Truex, to win the Daytona 500 on the 21st. And that was a winning margin of 6 inches in a 500-mile race. So, wow. But with that, those are some things by the numbers. You've been listening Two Some Things About Money. Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Tony Clark. And I just want to remind you to get outside, enjoy this beautiful day. Get out there and do some shopping. Get out there and remember, buy Hunterdon and buy often.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at